have a definite burden. And, you know, I appreciate the confidence the church put in me to ask me to come over and speak to your lost. You may not understand what I'm talking about. If you're a preacher here and helped in the revival, you know what I'm talking about. These little children here are precious. Not only them, but anybody else here that are lost. That's a serious thing, and I take it serious. Brother Jeff called us yesterday when we was on the way home from the association, and I had two other preachers with us, and we nearly had an accident about that time. Me there talking on the phone when I wasn't supposed to be, but I called him back, and we had a serious talk after I got home. And I have a serious desire for your prayer, brothers and sisters. I can't do anything. If anything's done here, it's going to have to be the Lord doing it. I don't have any talents of any use unless the Lord's Spirit's in it. That's the way it is. And it don't matter how many words I use or what kind of words I use. If the Lord doesn't make it real to them, it won't help. That's certainly a blessing, seeing those young people up here singing a while ago. And I would encourage them to continue singing for the Lord, His honor and glory. That's a good part of the service. It's an important part. Gets their mind off the world and in here. And I would ask each one of you to try to do that this week. Try to pray for me and Jeff and anybody else that whoever needs to do something, don't hesitate to follow the Lord. And let's be prayerful one for another. And let's commit ourselves. We want the lost to submit or surrender to the Lord. Well, we as the children of God should set the pattern. We should surrender to what He tells us to do and show them what we're supposed to be doing and set the pattern for them to follow. Anything else on your heart tonight before we read some scripture? If not, you want to turn with us, you can turn over to Genesis to the 3rd chapter. This is a very familiar scripture. Says, now the serpent was more subtile than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall become as gods, knowing good and evil. And then the woman saw that the tree was good for fruit, for food, and that it was pleasant for the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave unto her husband, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou art naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Now, barring the mistakes we made trying to read that, that's reading down to the end of the 13th verse of the third chapter of Genesis. And I want you to know, if we had a thought tonight, this came unto me shortly after I was asked about coming over here. And that would be something that you might find a little silly, but it would be hide and seek. Now, I wondered this afternoon, actually, when I was thinking about it, some of the children here, if they still play that game. But I want you to know that that game had certain things that you would go hide, and the one would try to come find the ones that was hiding. But we're going to hold that for a thought for the night. That's what the Lord's put on my heart. I want to start here as we look at these verses. We'll start down in the even further down. Let's start all the way down in the seventh verse here. And it says, and the eyes of them both were open. This was after they had eaten the fruit of that tree. And sinner friend, I want to tell you something, that what they experienced here was a one-time event. But I'm telling you tonight that you're going to experience, there may be some here that haven't reached the age of accountability yet, but whenever you reach the age of accountability, some of them, from my understanding, have reached that age. I don't know. You see, I can come in here and preach right to you, and I don't know anybody's heart here tonight. I'm just free to preach. Their eyes were open. And I'm telling you, it's coming a time when you reach the age that God's going to open your eyes. And it's not like he opened their eyes here. You see, it's a little different for you. And how's it different? You see, they were holy and made righteous whenever they were made. And when they eat that fruit, they lost all of that. And a shame came on them. That's the reason they ran and hide. But I'm telling you here that whenever you reach that age of accountability, your protection from Jesus Christ is going to go away. And when it does, your eyes are going to be open. You see, I hope the ones that are here agree with me on that. But I believe these children, when they're innocent and they haven't reached age of accountability, they haven't experienced any spiritual things until that time. But when that time comes that God holds them accountable for their sins, he spiritually awakens them and opens their eyes that they see their self. That's when the fear comes. You'll enjoy coming to church. You'll enjoy being with your friends because see, all this, you hear these stories and these tales, but when you reach the age of accountability and God opens your eyes, it becomes real to you, and it is real. Your protection has been removed. You see, these children here that haven't reached the age of accountability, I believe there's a couple of them I know that are very young babies. You see, Jesus protects them with his blood, and it's my belief that he protects them, and if one of them were to step into eternity, he would redeem them at the moment of death, is the way I believe it, you see. I don't believe there's anything that's going to go into heaven that hasn't had the blood applied, let me just tell you. I don't care how young they are until they reach that age, and whenever you reach that age, you're going to need the blood, and you've got to come to it. God opens your eyes, and you see yourself as a lost sinner, let me just tell you. There's a guilty shame that comes on you that you feel on the inside, and I believe that it's just that we talk about when we get saved, that's just the down payment. I believe when we become lost, that's just the down payment. It's a down payment on what you're going to experience one day after a while if you don't get saved by the grace of God, that you're going to experience that in a much greater fashion when you step into hell. Let me just tell you, that's God warning you. And I pray tonight that he'll open your eyes. You see, he'll open your eyes to what? Your condition. You see, because if you never see yourself as a poor lost sinner, you're never going to get saved, let me just tell you. But you're going to, the Bible tells us, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to the glory of God. Why? Because what Jesus did. Jesus did. Not because of anything else, let me just tell you. And what does it say here? And it says, and they knew that they were naked. Knew that they were naked. Has God opened you up tonight? You know how you feel Every one of us here has got clothes on. Everybody's decently dressed. But you know, there's a shame from being exposed to somebody. But let me tell you something. There's a shame in being exposed to God. There's a shame in that. And you see, Adam and Eve here, they knew that they had sinned and they had become naked before God. And you see, and that's the way you're going to feel, that feeling on the inside. I've described it several different ways at different times, but I said that I felt like that I had butterflies that like I experienced when we were in school. You see, whenever we had to stand up and do something, you see, this scared me to death when the Lord called me to preach. I didn't like to get up in front of people, and that's the way my stomach felt when I had to do something, even when I had to testify in church. That's the way I felt whenever I become lost. You see, there was something not right in there. There was something not right on the inside. I become naked before God. What did they do? They took these and these fig leaves and they tried to twist them together and cover themselves. Try to cover themselves. What are you doing, sinner friend? What are you doing? I'm telling you, this story right here is real. This is the account of why all the sin is in this world. What Brother Mark talked about a while ago. This is the account of how it started. This is the beginning of death in this world. This is the account of all the nasty things that are going on as you turn on the television and men killing men and assaulting other men and women and all kinds of nasty stuff. This is where it began. This is where it all began. And then people... And they'll tell you, and you, and there may be some, I don't know how you feel about some of this stuff, but I'll tell you exactly the way I feel. God didn't make any men sinners. They say that God made me this way. No, he didn't. Right here is where it started. Everything that's going on, it started right here. You say, well, that old book of the Bible, I don't believe that stuff and everything. And I've got this person and that person tell me about this and that. Let me tell you something. I've worked for a living over at Springfield, Tennessee for Electrolux. I've got a degree from Tennessee Tech. And the one thing that I learned in my school, instead of going up there and trying to figure out that God wasn't real, I figured out God was more real than what I thought when I started. Why? Because all these theories and all this formulas and all this stuff comes all together and it wasn't done without somebody organizing it. Let me just tell you. It was done by somebody that organized it. And this book tells me about it. Let me tell you something. It tells me about it. In fact, I'll tell you, if you go back a few chapters here, you're going to read something that Moses couldn't have known whenever he penned this down. What was that? Everything was made after its kind. That rule still applies today. I don't care how much generic stuff that they do and all that stuff. Whenever there's boundaries that God set and it's still enforced today, what do you mean? You go outside and look at the yard, how many different types of grasses you have out there? Whole bunch of different types. Each type after its kind. And if it wasn't so, in the 6,500 years that this book records, there would be just grass. Why? It would all blend together. Same thing with the trees. Same thing with the animals. You see, God set the rules. Moses couldn't have possibly knew anything about that when this was pinned down. Not couldn't have possibly. And men are still trying to break that rule and they are not able to. And they won't ever be able to. God put it in place. God's the one put it in place, sinner friend. And just like he pinned this down here, they started to sew their fig leaves together to try to cover themselves, to hide themselves from God. But you can't hide yourself from God. It's not possible. God knows your heart. I don't know your heart. Brother Jeff doesn't know your heart. None of the other brothers and sisters here know your heart. They may see that you're in trouble because you can't hide it. But let me tell you something. They still don't know your heart. God does. God knows down in that heart they had a guilt inside. Do you have a guilt inside, sinner? Do you feel that? You see, I'm talking about something that's real. People tell you, well, you've just been to church all your life. It's the reason you believe that. Let me tell you something. When you become accountable, it becomes real. It becomes real. You know about it. You see, that fear wasn't there, and all of a sudden, there's trouble. There's trouble God puts in there, and that's when you know that it's real. If you're here in a dull, I don't know anybody's heart here today, but let me tell you something. It's not the dead letters on this book right here. This is a dead tree with some ink on it. Let me tell you something. God's Word becomes alive. He makes it real. What did they say here? They tried to do that. They tried to hide their nakedness. Nakedness here. It said they heard the voice of the Lord God. They heard it. You know you can hear that? When you become accountable, that's the first time you heard it. And it you can hear it. You're not with this ear here. And I got all this this electrical stuff to help me out because of my age. You see, I'm talking about in here. You know, they're talking about the Abraham. And one time with Jesus, he said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. He was talking about seeing it not with the physical eyes. Jesus wasn't talking about that. Abraham didn't see with the physical eyes. He seen it with the spiritual eyes on the inside. That's what he seen it with. And let me tell you something. It says here, and he heard the voice of the Lord. That's what you're going to hear. You're going to hear that. But this serpent that he's talking about here in the previous verses, you're going to hear that too. You're going to hear both. One's going to be telling you to do one thing, and the other one's going to be telling you to do right the opposite. You know how you tell which one's which? Which one matches what I'm preaching? Which one matches the Word of God? That's the one you can listen to, because the Word of God's where it's at, let me just tell you. The serpent, you see, he twisted the things that were said here and the things that were said to Adam here. It doesn't say that it was said to Eve. It was said to Adam. Adam taught Eve what she knew here. God didn't even say that you wasn't to touch it. He said you wasn't to eat it. You wasn't to eat of that tree. He didn't say about the touching part, but I want you to know that the devil takes and twists the words around. He's good at that. He's been practicing on it for 6,500 years. You see, we ain't even a scratch in his history. And I don't know how long he existed before that. I don't know. I can't put a timeline when he did what. But I want you to know that he's been practicing on a lot of people, a lot of different ways. But they heard God. They heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden. And he's in the cool of the day. You know, when I thought about that, I thought about over in Luke, over here in the 22nd chapter. I thought about that. And it hadn't been too long ago at church that I preached on the two trees. Two trees. What two trees? That tree in the garden and that tree at Calvary. Two trees, let me just tell you. I thought about this. Over here in Luke, 22nd chapter, I'm going to start at the 39th verse, and it said, and this is right after they had the Lord's Supper, and he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. It's talking about Jesus here. He's coming out. They've just met here and had the Lord's Supper, and he's going out to a place he was used to going. And it says, and when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation, talking about his disciples. And as he was withdrawn from them, about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Brother Jimmy said, why are you bringing that in? I'll tell you why I'm bringing it in. You see, over here in Genesis, the Lord God come walking in the cool of the day. Here, late afternoon, after he just initiated the Lord's Supper, we have Jesus walking out there into the garden, his last free moments, let me just tell you, before they arrest him. And prayed with the Father, is it possible? Let this cup passed from me. Let me tell you something, sinner friend. This is when the battle begun for your soul, let me just tell you, right here. And it said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That's what our Lord prayed. And what did he say there? And then appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling from the ground. That's the afternoon he had before he was arrested. And you say, what does that matter to me? That was the Lord God, the Lord Jesus praying there in the garden. He was in agony because the devil was already attacking him there. He was dreading what he was going to be suffering the next morning as he hung up on the cross, knowing he had to go all the way if your soul was going to be saved, paying the full price for your sin, you see. And it got to the point that he was so much stress on his body that blood dripped out from his forehead as how much stress he was in agony. That's what he did for you, sinner friend. That's what he did that night. Whenever he come here in the cool of the day, what did they do? They hid theirself. This is the one who's going to pay the price for their sin. You say, well, this is God the Father. No. I believe this here in Genesis was Jesus walking there in the cool of the day is what I believe. I believe it was the Lord Jesus coming through. And then he said, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? You think the Lord didn't know where he was at? He knew exactly where he was at. He knew exactly where he was at. It wasn't a question to be answered for the Lord. It was a question to be answered by Adam. Where are you? Where are you, sinner friend? Where are you? God knows where you're at. You can hide from all of us. You can play the game of hide and seek and hide from every one of us. You see, I know how the game is played. I know the game was played when I was a child, and I know how the game is played when you're a sinner sitting in the church house, lying to the people coming and talking to you. Because I used to be that sinner, let me just tell you. No, I'm okay. When I knew inside I wasn't okay. And if I'd have died, I'd be in hell tonight, let me just tell you. I would have put hell wide open. You better take this thing serious. This is not a fairy tale. This is not something you see on television and cartoons and the commercial comes on and everything's all right. Let me tell you something. Whenever the Lord's calling out for you, he's the one over there in the garden. the devil putting him under so much mental stress that night that when he was praying to the Father, great blood dripped out from his forehead. You see, the weight of the whole world. Everybody that's here tonight, everybody that's over at Antioch, everybody that's all over this county. And they were all the, not only this county, all the other counties in this state, all the states and in all the world. Every bit of it. All the way through time. Not just where we're at. We don't know when he's coming back. The weight of the people that are going to be born all the way out was on him that night. You were on him that night. You're the weight of your sin was on him that night. He had to take it to his cross. Carry it to his cross so that you'd have an opportunity to be saved. Lord, come walking in the garden. He said, Lord, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Adam knew God. He knew God before this. He knew what had happened to him. He experienced things. See, the devil made him a promise, but he didn't just tell him the whole truth. That's what he does. You know what the devil tell you? You see, I can tell you about this because I remember. He'll tell you just put it off one more night. You'll have tomorrow. Monday night will be a good night to go to the altar. Monday night will be a good night to get saved. You just wait till Monday night. Let me tell you something, Senator Friend. The devil doesn't know if you've got a Monday night. God does, but the devil doesn't. I don't believe he can see out in the future. I believe God knows everything. Everything going on in your life, everybody that's here tonight, everything has been orchestrated for this service. There'll never be another service like this service. Is this your night? Is this the last opportunity? I don't know. But God knows exactly where you're at. The question is, do you know where you're at? Do you know where you're at? What does he say? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. He heard the voice. Have you heard the voice? You know what it'll tell you? You need to go pray. The devil will say, well, just put it off. What I'm telling you is, what I'm preaching to you matches the Word of God. You see? I heard thy voice. Do you hear the voice of the Lord tonight? Do you hear it tonight? I'll tell you what it's telling you. Over here in Acts in the 20th chapter and 20th verse, you know, I tell you, this is a mark that you can put on every preacher. This is where it's at. Let me just tell you, Acts 20 and 21, testifying both to the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's where your hope is. What do you mean by that? You've broken God's law. You're naked before Him. He knows you have. There's no hiding. You can sow all the fig leaves together you want to. God can see right into your soul, let me just tell you. And you're naked before God. And you've broken His law. You need to go to Him. The only opportunity you have to be spared from eternal destruction is to go to Him and beg for mercy. You don't have nothing to offer Him. Nothing. Everything you got is tainted with sin. I tell the sinners, I said, you try. And I remember doing this. I tried praying here and I tried praying there and I tried praying. You've heard different ones. I went down to here to pray and over there to pray. Let me tell you something. When you get tired of praying, doing all that, everything everybody else has done, you figure out that stuff ain't going to work for you. It ain't going to work for you. I'll tell you what'll work. You could take and get down on your knees and you ask the Lord to intervene and help. Amen. That you can't do it. You don't know how and you ain't going to figure it out. God's going to have to be the one to intervene. You see, this thing, therefore by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. You see, when you get to the point that you've tried all those things, you try Jesus, let me just tell you. That's where you got to go. Let go of all this other stuff. There's nothing else that's going to save you. What grandpa did or grandma did, the preacher here did, any of that stuff, it ain't going to work. You've got to let go of all that stuff. God's got to send His grace down to give you the repentance of the salvation. God's got to send His grace down for you to believe in the salvation. Let me just tell you, it's got to come down from Him. You got to take and come down to His throne and go right to Him and ask for mercy. Why have you got to go to Him? He's the one paid for it. He paid in full, let me just tell you. You got to go to Him. That's the reason I could find that scripture. Probably if I want to spend a little time, but I'm not. I don't feel like I need to tonight. Maybe I need another night. There's no other name under heaven where my men must be saved. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. Why? It's His plan. Not mine. Not Brother Marty's, not Brother David's, not Brother Barry's, not Brother Jeff's, not Brother Jimmy's. It's God's plan. Amen. That's whose plan it is. Look here as we take and go a little further. Look back over here to the scripture. What does it say here? If I get back over there where I was at, these pages quit sticking together. He said here, And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden calling out. Is he calling out for you tonight? And I was afraid because I was naked. He saw where he was. His eyes was open. And he says here, and I hid myself. Hiding ain't going to do no good. Hiding is not going to do any good. Not a bit. Not a bit of good. You see? Because you can't hide from God. That says over here in Revelations, if I can find that right fast, here, at the end of time, it says that there, that I'm not going to be able to find that. It said there, I'll try to paraphrase it the best I can. The Lord appeared, and what's going to happen at the end of time is us that are saved, we're going to rise and meet the Lord in the air. You're going to be left here. You know what you're going to see when you're left here? All the kings of the earth and all the mighty men of the earth and all the wise men, they're going to be running to the mountains and praying that the rocks will fall and hide them from him that sat up on the throne. Hide them. It ain't going to happen. He's going to burn it all up. And they'll just be left, and you'll be here with them if you're not saved. Don't be left. It said, Jesus said over here in Matthew 9, but go ye and learn what it mean. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I'm not called to call. I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. What do you mean by that, Brother Jimmy? I mean that Adam over there, he realized that he sinned. He realized he was naked before God. Let me tell you something. Jesus came to call sinners to repentance. And if you don't see yourself as a sinner tonight, you're not going to make it. You're going to fall short. I got to the point I saw myself as a sinner as a little boy. And as I was laid out on the bed there at home, Mom and Dad's house, a sinner. I tried all this stuff. Didn't get there. I'd sit in revivals. I'll tell you what, they'd fill the aisles here, the seat here, and they'd be crying and begging. We had Brother Ronnie Holland's little boy back 2 years ago get into such trouble at Antioch, crying out the way I'd seen all the sinners do back 2 years ago. I'm glad he got it. You know why? Because right now, he's fighting for his life. He's only 10 years old. I believe that's where he's at right now. He's fighting for his life. You know why? He found out the next year, like a few months ago, he's got cancer, let me just tell you. But whatever happens, if the treatments work, good. If they don't work, good. Why? Because the Lord saved his soul right there on that bench at Antioch. And he's ready to go. And he's going to go to glory one day after a while. I don't want to see the Lord boy step into eternity. I want to see him live his life. But it be God's will, let me just tell you. You're not going to escape death, let me just tell you. It's after you. You need to recognize what you are. You're a sinner. The only hope you've got is the blood of Jesus to clean you up. The only place you can get it is at the throne of God, let me just tell you. At Jesus' feet. You want to hide? You see, in this earthly game, hiding is the way you win the game. In this heavenly game, this spiritual game, hiding is the way you lose. It's the way you lose. Jesus said over here too, over in Mark 2:17, they that are whole have no need of the physician. What's he talking about? He come to a lot of people. Sadducees and Pharisees, they didn't see that they needed this. Oh, they had their own righteousness. They didn't need what Jesus had to offer because they couldn't see themselves naked the way God saw them. They couldn't see themselves that way. It says, but they that are sick, I come not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Is he calling you to repentance tonight, sinner friend? Is he calling you? He talks to you. You hear him inside, down inside here. It's not something you hear with the ear, but it's real. It's real. It'll match what I'm telling you out of the Word of God. You see, I preach the Word of God. I stay right with the Scripture pretty close and stuff. Why do you do that, Brother Jimmy? Because my words, they're just my words. Whenever I read you Jesus' words, and I read the words out of this book, this King James Version, let me tell you something. This is Word of God. This is the voice of God. Let me just tell you. And it says here in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest. I'm talking about not this rest that you get when you go lay down at night and you get up in the morning, I'm talking about giving you eternal rest. What I got in 1974 down the road on Highway 52, there in the little house that Mom and Dad had in that back bedroom, I can take you right to the spot. I can still see the way the bed was set up as I slept on it that night. I can still see that. And let me tell you something. The Lord spoke peace to my soul that night. Romans 5:1 said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. That's an eternal peace, sinner friend. When you get the drink of that water, you're never going to thirst again. You can get that tonight. You don't have to go home with that trouble. If you'll come, you can get it tonight. Jesus wants to save you tonight. Today is the day of salvation, let me just tell you. It's not tomorrow. Tomorrow is what the devil put in your mind. God wants you to be saved tonight. Tonight. Oh, we'll go over one more verse here. Over John 6:37. What did he say here? Jesus speaking again, 6:37, John. All that my Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Everybody comes to Jesus. He's not going to ever cast us out. You know, it said something over to Association this weekend, talking about him chastening us. Yeah, you know the good thing about chastisement from the Lord? You know that you're a son. You know that you're a son. If you can go out there and do all this stuff and the Lord never clamp down, trust me, you can get away with it for a while. Because let me tell you how the Lord works. When you go out there and start doing all that stuff, he'll slowly start putting the vice on you. And it'll keep twisting. It'll keep twisting. And eventually you get to where, how did I get here? That's the way it is. But you know that you're one of his when he does that. If you're not saved, you can go do all that stuff and you won't have no conscience about it. But he's not going to lose any. It says, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. This is the Father's will, which have sent me, that all which have he have given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise up again in the last day. That's what I've got. I've got a salvation. I know one day after a while, I may be dead and gone a long time before the Lord comes back. I may be away. It may be, I don't know how long it's going to be. People think it's going to just be any time now. I agree. It could be, far as I know, it could be tonight. And it could be 500 years from now. You know what? It don't matter to me. Because I'm ready to go either way. You ready to go if it's tonight, sinner friend? Are you ready to go if it's tonight? You say, well, the preacher said this and the preacher said that. I know. We've said a lot of stuff. But we don't know. You know how I know we don't know? The Lord said that he didn't even know. Only the Father, only in heaven knew. These people get on television and tell you they know when the Lord's coming back. You can just mark them off. That doesn't match the Word of God. The only one knows is the Father. He knows when he's going to tell the Son, go round them up. He's going to step out on that cloud, and it's going to be a time like you've never seen. Like it's never been seen. It's going to be a great day for us. So let me just tell you. Because if I'm here, I'm going to see my Lord. If I'm not, he's bringing my soul back. And because he's going to raise this old corruptible body out of the ground, incorruptible, let me just tell you. And you're going to be here, sinner friend. If it's tonight, you know what you're going to see? You're going to see all the ones of us that are here. And you're going to see us change. And in the twinkling of an eye, you're going to see our glorified body. But then what you're going to see is we're going to rise to meet him in the air. You're still hiding, let me just tell you. You better come out of the shadows, out of the trees, and seek the Lord, let me just tell you. When that happens, the time will already have been over, ended. No more opportunity for mercy. We're going to rise up. And I don't care who's here of your family, if it's your mom and daddy, your grandpa and grandpa, we won't be looking back. We won't be looking. Lots of life look back. We ain't going to be looking back. We're going to have our eyes forever on the Lord. Let me just tell you, we want you to go with us. You say, well, why do you want us to go with you? You ever think about that? Why are we trying to get everybody in? Because there's going to be more joy in heaven the more it's there. More joy. You ever think about that? The more of us to sing praises to God, the more of us to glorify our Savior, the more joy we're going to have. This is not an earthly inheritance where the children, the more children there is divided up. This is a heavenly inheritance. And the more of us that go, the more joy we're going to have in heaven. Let me tell you something, sinner friend. We love you. And we don't want to see you in hell. We don't want to see you on the side of the great gulf. Are you playing hide and seek tonight? These brothers and sisters come talk to you. You can tell them whatever you want to. I did when I was in your spot. But one thing you can't do, God comes and he speaks to you. You can tell him whatever you want to, but he knows. You need to figure out where art thou. Not a question for the Lord to ask you. It's a question for you to ask yourself. That's what God was telling Adam over there. That's what he was telling Eve. You can't clothe yourself in fig leaves enough to hide from God. You don't have righteousness to cover yourself. But Jesus can take and just like over there, you know what he did over there? He shed the blood of some animals and he clothed through those fig leaves. See, that's what Adam and Eve done. God provided them a covering that required a shedding of blood. He can provide a covering for you tonight through the shedding of the blood that happened over on the cross. If you'll come seek him with all your heart, let go of all those things you've got on your mind, all those things you've been told. Just talk to Jesus. That's who you need to talk to. Talk to Jesus. You see, all those people over in the Bible, Jesus passed by. I believe Jesus passed by here tonight. You know what you got to do? You reach out and touch him. You know how you can make sure that he's here? You take and bow down to him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. He'll be right there, let me just tell you. He'll be right there. And you say, I know I'm lost, but I ain't in trouble. Let me tell you something, you better be praying. You better be praying, because if you don't get that trouble, you're not going to get saved. Don't just be content sitting there, I'm not in trouble. You better be calling out to God to send that trouble, that godly sorrow, because it's on your hope. That's what the Lord's put on my heart tonight, brothers and sisters. I'm going to turn the service back over to Brother Jeff. You got a song? Anybody needs to come seek the Lord? I would encourage you to come seek the Lord. Brothers and sisters, this will be about the Lord's business. We don't know how long we're going to have. This may be our last service. Maybe some of us in eternity for. We see the sun come up in the morning. Let's do everything that we can. Let's submit ourselves to the Lord tonight and do everything we can. And then we can say when it's all over, there's nothing else I got to done. Let's just do that. Brother Jeff, go ahead.